Now, a few weeks ago, I was speaking to Lindy Crack, who's a very experienced swim instructor in Launceston, and I immediately noticed how much shouting she needs to do for her job.
Swim the worst freestyle you can. Head off, Jeremy.
You need a little bit of a voice projection here, don't you?
You do. If you listen to my husband, he loves the... He tells me I'm very, very loud. I have a teacher voice all the time. Which, yes, I do, so... But over the years, I actually explained to these guys earlier, when I first started teaching, I actually did all the wrong things and ended up with a voice like I have now, so I've learned how to project and what to do to look after myself.
So this voice is from too much shouting?
This voice is from too much yelling in the pool, yes. Yeah, too much talking. So I'm a little bit happy to chat. Rightio, nice work. So what we're going to do now is pair up and do our rescues.
That's Lindy Crack, who's a swim instructor in Launceston. So Lindy reckons she wrecked her voice with her work. Now, how do you avoid that happening to you? Because lots of people need to talk all day. Teachers need to talk all day. People who work in shops need to talk all day. People at call centres that we have quite a few of in Tasmania need to talk all day. So is there a way to do that, especially if you need to be a little bit loud, that won't leave you kind of raspy voice the way that Lindy is? Gudrun Barrett-Peacock is a discipline lead in speech pathology with the Tasmanian Health Service. And I'm hoping she has the answers to that. Good morning to you, Gudrun.
Good morning, Joel. Lovely to see you this morning.
I saw you wincing a few times during that chat with Lindy. What did you think of Lindy and her voice?
Look, I'm really pleased for Lindy that she sought some help for that voice, because it certainly sounds very uncomfortable to me.
So does it kind of distress you to hear a story like that?
Look, unfortunately, it's a fairly common story in my line of work. So voice disorders are not particularly common in general. About probably 4% of us on any one day have a voice disorder. But of course, I see more than your average person would. And her voice story is unfortunately fairly common.
What sort of people are most commonly coming to you with that sort of issue?
Professional voice users are obviously very prone to voice disorders, as you've identified, but it tends to be the professional voice users that don't have a lot of training. So I don't see very many opera singers, I don't see very many ministers of religion, but I do see a lot of people who haven't necessarily had a lot of vocal training, and then they've gone into these really demanding professions, so including call centre workers, teachers, obviously aerobics instructors. That's pretty demanding.
How often do you end up with people who've actually got... Because to me, it's quite audible. Lindy's voice is cracked quite audibly.
Yeah. Look, it can happen. And I tend to see people who have already come through an ear, nose and throat specialist. So they do tend to have a diagnosis of something like vocal nodules or some fairly serious problem first before they come to therapy.
Vocal nodules. What is that? That sounds horrible. What actually is going on there?
Yeah, it is quite horrible. So what happens is your vocal cords, when you speak or, you know, when you make a sound normally, they vibrate quite gently together. But if you really, really push them and put lots of pressure on them, for instance, by trying to raise your voice too high, they kind of slam together and they can form these little blistery sort of things. It's like, you know, if you've got a...
It's a callus,
a shoe,
really, isn't it?
Yeah, like a shoe that doesn't fit well and you walk around in it. It is. It's like a little callus. And they turn into lumps and then they, of course, stop your vocal cords from coming together and you end up with that horrible sound.
Now, I understand that vocal cords is actually not a very correct word for it. Everyone imagines something like a guitar string or piano strings in their throat, and I've seen a picture of it and it's nothing like that, is it?
No, it's nothing like that. And you're exactly right. And I didn't know until I went to uni, to be honest, that it wasn't like that. So no, the vocal cords are actually these little things that sit on top of your airway and they're made of muscle. So they actually come together over your airway so that they can vibrate with the air.
Two little flaps of muscle just in there. Yeah,
pretty much.
The first time you see it, it's kind of jaw-dropping, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very strange look. And not everyone likes to see their own.
So what training should people get if they're going to talk all day? Because I, for example, I have done professional voiceover. I have been working in radio for getting close to 30 years now. I have never had vocal training.
And your voice sounds fantastic. So isn't that interesting? Look, it all depends on your fitness, Joel. So it's like anything else. If all that you've ever done by way of exercise, for instance, is walking around the supermarket, you don't expect to then run a marathon without getting injured. And it's a bit the same with your voice. So if you're a fairly good voice user if your voice is kept fit and if you're looking after it well. It can do an awful lot more than somebody else's voice could.
Well, so it's made of muscle, as you say.
Well, it is made of muscle. So you don't necessarily need special training depending on what you're going to do. But for a really high intensity sort of job like aerobics instruction, I'd probably suggest a microphone as well. But certainly a bit of professional training wouldn't go awry.
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. This is Statewide Weekends. I'm Joel Reinberger. She is Lindy Crack. Sorry, no, she's not Lindy Crack. She is Gudrun Barrett Peacock. I'm getting my names wrong all over the place this morning. Gudrun is a speech pathologist with the Tasmanian Health Service, and we're talking about preserving your voice if you have to talk a lot. So how do you talk loudly or talk all day without damaging the delicate apparatus in there?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. There's a couple of things that you can do. One is just generally look after your voice. And my top tip for looking after your voice is to hydrate. So if you keep well hydrated, you're halfway there. The vocal cords are really, really susceptible to drying out and they get very fragile and very twitchy when they do. So keep well hydrated, keep your posture good so that you're using as much air as you can to support your voice. It's not all coming out of your throat, and keep your throat relaxed at all times so that you're not kind of pushing those tiny, tiny little muscles to do all of the work for you.
So are people holding their whole throat tense, so they're giving a half-hour talk, but that entire half-hour their throat is tense as anything?
Yeah, and what can happen is if you keep your throat tense in that kind of situation, it can actually get in the habit of being tense all the time. And then it's a very inefficient kind of system you've got. You're really pushing when you shouldn't need to push. And that can cause lots of problems later on.
Is there a technique to projecting without damaging yourself?
Look, there are lots of techniques, and you'd probably have to see a voice professional to train in those. But very basically, I would just say keep your posture fairly upright and strong and support with your breath rather than just pushing from your voice.
One of the few bits of voice help I ever got was about exactly that, about standing upright and sticking your chest bones out. The difference it makes in how you sound is quite amazing. Because I used to sound quite nasal, mate. I grew up in New South Wales, in the middle of New South Wales, and then I was taught, you know, stick the chest out and you get that nice rolling tone coming out. It makes a huge difference. Should you warm up your voice?
If you're going to do a lot of exercise with it, yes, definitely. And so something like gentle singing is really good, or humming. It doesn't have to be anything particularly fancy, but yeah, a little warm-up.
Do you like the warm-ups that actors do? There's a couple of actors that work on the radio here. I'm looking at you, Jane Longhurst, and John X, Jane in particular. And Jane's an assiduous warm-upper who'll be going, mwah, 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 yee, 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 and making all sorts of funny noises. Is that a useful thing? You got a funny look on your face looking at me now, Gudrun.
No, I love it. And I'm thinking, good for Jane, and you shouldn't be taking the piss out of her. Absolutely wonderful.
How did you choose to become a speech pathologist?
I've always really loved voice. So as a kid, I loved singing and I enjoy music, and it was just something that that I fell into fairly naturally, I think, from that end of things.
Are you still a singer these days?
Oh, only in an amateur way, but I like it. You know, I like singing in the shower.
Well, look, Gudrun Barrett Peacock, it's been fascinating talking to you.